You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
Hey, you're listening to Adulting with Horses, the best place to be if you can't be at the barn. We are your co-hosts and equine authors, Heather Wallace and Natalie Keller Reinert. As crazy horse girls, we don't take ourselves too seriously in the saddle or out. We celebrate the things that make us different. Join us as we talk about horses and pop culture and get a little weird in a fun way. Thank you for being a little weird with us. Hi, horse girls. Well, this is a surprise, or maybe not, if you've been listening to Adulting with Horses. My name is Heather Wallace. I am the co-host of the popular Adulting with Horses podcast. And once a month, I'm going to be coming on and doing a special episode called The Balanced Horse from my perspective as a bodywork and saddle fit evaluator in the horse world. Before we get started, just a little bit of a reminder. My name is Heather Wallace. I'm a full-time equine and canine soft tissue therapist and body worker in New Jersey. I've been seen in Horse Illustrated, The Plaid Horse, and The Official Massage Therapist for the Westminster Dog Show and the National Dog Show. So all contents of this podcast are my opinion only and should not be construed as veterinary advice. If you have a medical or nutritional concern for your horse, please consult with your veterinarian. That being said, today, on this special episode of the Adulting with Horses, the Balanced Horse, we're going to talk about becoming an equine massage therapist. I get asked about this all of the time because, truthfully, if you're really good at your job, you love what you do, and you're effective, it's going to magnetize people. It's going to inspire them, and they're going to want to do what you do. We're going to make it look easy, right? So I want to talk about the good, the bad, and all the things in between about running your own business and becoming an equine massage therapist. I hope you're ready. Okay, so I did write an article about this. It's on my blog at animalbodywork.com. It's written under the dogs, you know, for framing, but the same applies for horses. So the first thing you need to consider is, you know, what is soft tissue work? What is massage? So what my job is to remove imbalances in the soft tissue of the body and help the animal to heal themselves. So as a result, I work with performance horses and pets for prevention and maintenance to improve their times and prevent injury. And I help seniors with arthritis, with mobility issues. So I'm always part of a wellness team that provides complementary care to their regular veterinary maintenance. So again, it cannot be said enough, I am not a veterinarian, nor am I allowed to diagnose or provide nutritional advice. So I have to stay in my lane, and I suggest everybody else does too. Some of the benefits of massage therapy for horses can include, but are certainly not limited to, reducing inflammation, increasing circulation, improving digestion, speeding wound healing, restoring mobility to injured tissue, reducing stress. And so there's a lot of things that we can do to help the horse in their day-to-day lives. And so, you know, as we go along on these episodes, hopefully it'll be a little bit of a mix between educational and informative, as well as some personal stories, because I always love to tell stories. So I think the first thing that we're going to get started with is thinking about why do you want to become an animal massage therapist. When I first started about 10 years ago, it was 2016 where I first started. It was my second career. I didn't start out in my life as a teenager saying, like, I want to be an animal massage therapist. I did not even know it existed, okay? And in fact, when I started in 2016 and went to school, there were only two other professionals in the state of New Jersey. Now, because it is becoming increasingly popular, you're getting so many people. It's flooded the market, and there's practitioners practically on every corner. So you have to consider that there is going to be a lot of competition, and every practitioner is different, okay? So I just want to put that out there. My goal is to help animals. So that's why I do what I do. I work 6 days a week. I am a small business owner. I own my own business. And so there is a lot that it goes on behind the scenes. I have to know everything about taxes and I have to hire an accountant. I have to do my own scheduling. I have to purchase my own equipment and pay for that. I have to pay for gas and tolls. So there is a lot that goes into it. So if you are thinking that you want to get into this job because it looks easy and you get to pet animals all day, it's probably not the job for you, okay? I don't want to discredit you or tell you not to do something. I just want to let you know that this is very difficult, backbreaking work. Most therapists can't work on more than, say, 4 or 5 horses a day, and it is not enough to supplement and create a full-time job, okay? So a lot of the people who do what I do this after their 9-to-5 job or on the weekends, okay? So I'm just going to let you know that if you think this is going to be easy, you have another thing coming. Now, that being said, you also don't want to treat it as a side hustle, because I'm very proud of the work that I do, and I have devoted my life to getting better at it and learning as much as I can. I have so many certifications, and I do continuing education for myself every 2 years. So I take this very, very seriously. So while I don't think you should go into it with a side hustle mindset, you have to be prepared that it will probably be a side hustle for many years until you establish yourself and get regular clients, okay? So it is not quick and easy money. It is work that is going to tire out your mileage on your car. It's going to tire out your hands and your body. And again, there is always a danger of working with horses. Okay. So I'm just going to say that the reality is a little different than like what we all show on social media, right? So the first thing I'm going to say, and again, I don't want you guys to think I'm like telling you not to do this, because I absolutely love what I do. I've devoted my life to it. I cannot imagine doing anything else. But it is hard. It's hard, okay? And I don't get a lot of breaks unless I schedule them, okay? I haven't seen my horses in a hot minute myself. All right, so the first thing you're going to do, if you're interested in learning about equine massage, you have to check your state animal laws. So the American Veterinary, my God, why am I blanking on this? Of course, because I'm recording. The AVCA, right, is a regulatory... I'm literally the worst. Anyway, this is what I get for trying to like follow, not a script, but like keynotes. Okay, so the American Veterinary Association has state laws, and each of them designates whether you're allowed or not to work on an animal, okay? Animal chiropractic has different legislature and requirements, and animal bodywork, which includes massage, is the same. So in my state, there's no law saying that I have to have veterinary supervision. I don't have to have a vet referral. It's kind of a gray area. However, New York State, I do need to work directly under a veterinary supervised. So they need to be on site knowing what I'm doing. If you go to Pennsylvania, I believe they also have to have veterinary supervision. So you have to check into your animal laws. If you think that you're going to work in the state of New York and work on horses, but your local veterinarians are not a fan, or you mess up and accidentally hurt a horse, it's not likely, but it can happen. You can get fined. Okay. So you want to make sure, like, before you look into going to these schools, that your state allows for you to do this. Now, that being said, bodywork and animal massage does not have any overall overseeing regulation. You can, it's like the Wild West out there, right? So, you know, some trainers, well, a lot of trainers, they call themselves a trainer, but they didn't actually go to school for it. They just kind of called themselves a trainer one day and started teaching lessons. Well, it can be the same with bodywork. So you want to make sure that, and the veterinary associations want to make sure that you're legitimate and you're certified, but there is no governing body right now. So we still haven't been regulated, and it can be the Wild West out there. I have seen instances where people have worked on a horse for 1.5 to 2 hours and not been effective. And yet the veterinarian calls me to come back and work on that horse because they needed X, Y, and Z, right? So you got to check your state animal laws. You have to keep records. You have to have insurance. You have to have liability insurance, right? So all of these things matter, and you have to really do your due diligence. So there are a couple websites you can go to. If you go to my website, animalbodywork.com, I have an article. It's called How to Become a Dog Massage Therapist. There's a link, and it'll take you to like all the information you need. And it is similar for the dogs and the horses when it comes to the regulations, okay? After you research the animal laws, you should find an accredited school. I personally like IAAMB.org for looking at their directory to see if someone is a member. They have a list of accredited schools, and it's really important that you go to something that is more than a week long. If you are going to be a person just working on your horse, that's great. You should totally do that. You could do a week-long course. But if you want to be a professional at this and be really, really, really good, you're going to need to go to a school that is going to be a bigger program, that's going to have hands-on clinical training, that is going to be accredited and give you that certification, okay? I cannot stress this enough. I've seen people come out of one-week programs and try to charge all this money, and they are just not good, okay? And they don't have experience. They don't have the feel. You need to go in person. Massage is not something you can teach on a computer. It's all about feel. And it's really important. I get asked this all the time, and especially in the winter, as I work on horses under their blankets when it's this cold. And people are like, do you need the lights on? I work by feel. Okay. When I first started, absolutely, I needed to see where I was. If it's a new horse, yes, I like to see, because I want to see that twitch of muscle. I want to see if there's a reaction or if they're going to defend themselves. But if it's a regular horse and I'm just hanging out in a stall, like working under their blanket, I don't need light. Okay. So the school is really, really important, because they're going to teach you everything you need to know, but you still have to go to school. So every couple of years, you're going to want to get what's called continuing education credits. And I think that's really, really important. The other thing, and this is a personal opinion, I will die on this hill: a chiropractor cannot teach massage. Okay. I'm just going to mic drop it there, because, and I work with chiropractors. I have quite a few that I'm friends with, I've worked with, I really respect what they do. I'll tell you a story. I love stories. So I had a client who brought me to do a saddle fit evaluation. She wanted a custom saddle for her horse. She was extremely short backed. She was asymmetrical, yada, yada. Okay. This girl was licensed. I'm sorry, not licensed, because there is no licensing right now for bodywork, but she was certified in animal bodywork from a local New Jersey school. And it was a one semester course that was taught by a chiropractor and gave her certification. Okay. She knew nothing. She knew a little bit about the anatomy, but she had zero skill. And I'm not knocking her. She wasn't taught correctly, because a chiropractor's job is obviously is to find and remove subluxations through the spine, right? And the extremities. That's their job. Their job is focused on the central nervous system. And the muscle is the supporting side, right? So it's the musculoskeletal system. The muscle's the supporting side. So where I can remove imbalances in the muscle, I can't go and touch the subluxation. I can't move that subluxation. It is illegal, and I would probably hurt the horse, okay? What I'm saying, there's a symbiotic relationship. But you can learn some basic information from a chiropractor, because obviously if there's a subluxation and they remove it, the muscle's going to relax a little bit. But if the muscle is not treated perfectly and accordingly to what it needs, it will pull that subluxation right back out. And the chiropractors don't know enough about like specialty of soft tissue. Now, this is not for every chiropractor. There are some chiropractors out there who are really good in manual therapies, right? Just like there's some physical therapists and veterinarians who are really good at manual therapies. My point is, if you want to become a soft tissue specialist, if you want to work on the muscle as your expertise, as your job, as your love, then you should learn from another massage therapist. Okay. So that's where I'm staying on that. double check, you know, there's a couple of schools you could go to. You could go to the Northwest School of Animal Massage. They are based out in Washington State. There's the Rocky Mountain School of Animal Acupressure and Massage. They're based out in Colorado. Equinology has a couple of courses. They do travel around, and it's something you could do. Masterson Method is not quite massage. It's kind of a little bit of a mixed practice. It is body work centered, so we'll include it. That being said, I think Jim Masterson is really great at what he does, but I don't always think that it's the best thing to teach horse owners the advanced techniques. Okay. So anyway, I might get publicly canceled for that, but I'm just going to let you know. There's some things that I just don't like horse owners doing that I would not have chosen to do that. The teacher is really important. Okay, so if you're going to learn from someone like Jim directly, that's amazing. If you're going to work for someone he really trusts, if you're going to learn from someone who's very experienced and has a big number of regular clients, I think that's lovely. You really need to do some research on the locals in your area. Is there a lot of competition? Because I will say this stupid, maybe this is just me. I'm not trying to be an asshole, okay? But if you listen to Adulting with Horses, I am an asshole, okay? What I get more often than not is a random person who decides that they want to do what I do. They want to shadow me and they want me to mentor them for free and give them access to my client list. And then they want to become a direct competitor of me in my area. So I've often turned to my chiropractor partner and said, like, is this weird? Because this feels really cheeky. It feels really cheeky. Okay. So if you're going to set yourself up to learn, I think that's wonderful. But if you're going to set yourself up as a direct competitor, don't go asking someone to mentor you. Okay. It's just not cool. So from the horse owner perspective, I think it's really important to know who you're hiring, right? So it's important to ask what their credentials are. If they're insured, it's important to ask how long they've been in business. Do they have any referrals from veterinarians locally? So I think it's really important, you know, to get some of that information, because there's a lot of shady people out there that say they're one thing and they actually don't know what they're doing. Okay. As I mentioned, it's good to partner with a professional if that professional is open to it. If they don't respond to your messages, just stop reaching out. They're too busy. I know for myself, I don't mean to be an asshole, but I'm too busy. Okay. And I don't have enough money to hire someone right now. And so while I do this full time, I mean, it's still, it's horses. You're not going to be a millionaire. Okay. So I don't have enough money to hire an employee. And so basically anybody I train in state is going to be a direct competitor if they are local to my area. If you are an hour or two outside of my regular zone and I'm only in that area once a month, go for it. But it's also important to appear professional. Okay. And I say appear because I look like a homeless person. When I go to clients, if it's nice weather out, you know, I'm wearing nice clothes, I'm well put together, but by the end of the day, I look like a homeless person. My hair is a mess. I'm covered in dirt or whatever, but don't show up in like ripped clothes or, you know, showing your tatas out. You know, like, this is a profession and it should be treated as such. So I just, I put together kind of like a little informational packet. I talk too much. I know this, but what I can say, because I've given you a whole bunch of don'ts, if you are determined to do this for a living, if this is your calling, you want to do it the right way, okay? You want to get an education. So if you're not sure if you want to do this, contact your local professional and ask if you can shadow them for a day. Say you're interested in going to school or learning about this. I've done that. I've done that many times, actually. I'll just bring someone for one day. And have them help me take notes or photos and, you know, got them ingrained in the process, because ultimately I do want to teach. I think that would be really great. I have my intern every summer. She's going to go to school for this and she is going to college. She's going to get an equine studies degree. She's going to focus on this, get her certification. And then I'm going to mentor her and teach her what I know and hopefully pass that down. Okay. But I've known her for half of her life. And I know that she'd be really, really good at what she does. She has seen what I do. She's seen how hard I work and how many long hours and, you know, Wawa stops to go to the bathroom and miss lunches. Okay. Working for yourself is not easy, but there is a flexibility as well that I will say is really nice, because the reason I started doing this was so I could still be a stay-at-home mom with my kids. So I started this part-time. I wouldn't call it a side hustle, but I definitely hustled my ass off. I started this part-time and I worked when my kids were in school. And then I was able to schedule around their doctor's appointments or their school activities. And as they got older, I was able to fill in my schedule more and more. And so for the last several years, I have been a full-time body worker. And in fact, actually, the clients always shift back and forth, right? You know, you might lose some a year based on age, moving, or they just decide that they want to try a new modality. Or a new person, a new practitioner. And then you get new clients all in. So it's a constant revolving door where you're always looking for, you know, to showcase what you do. And word of mouth is so important. So you have to know marketing. You have to know emails. You have to know social media. That's super important. You have to know the hands-on. I'll tell you a terrible story. So this is actually not about a massage therapist. I will just preface this. It was about a PMF practitioner, but this same applies, okay? Because I'll do a whole episode on PMF, of which I'm certified, by the way, so I can talk about it. Basically, this woman was marketing herself as a PMF practitioner and offering massage therapy. And I thought her massage was so inexpensive. It was like half of what I charge. And so when I met her, it was really great. Like, hey, we're at the same barn. And I asked her, I said, what kind of techniques do you use? She goes, for what? I said, for massage. I said, it says you do massage therapy. Oh, just basic massage is what she said. And to me, that's such a red flag, because that means she has no training. Okay. I can list like at least 9 techniques that I use regularly and am certified in. And I'm not saying I'm better than her. So please don't misconstrue that at all. But it's very misleading if someone can just refer to themselves as a massage therapist without any certification. Nobody asks for it, okay? I've never been asked for a certification by anything other than my veterinarian, okay? Veterinarians ask for that regularly, but not your clients. So it can be alarming. So even as a horse owner, you should be asking those questions. Where did you train? Are you insured? What techniques do you use? So I think it's really important. But this episode, I think, is going to be a little different, because I just wanted to do a little intro about it. And I get asked this question so, so much. And I don't have time to answer everyone's messages. And I really apologize for that. But like, I don't have an assistant and I need one, but I can't afford one. Okay. So if that tells you how much I love my job and how little I make, then there you go. All right. So if you're looking to become an equine massage therapist, I think it's the best job in the world, but you're going to work your ass off. And I think it's not easy money. You're going to work when it's 20 degrees out. You're going to work when it's 95 degrees out. You're going to work in pouring rain. I was in a stall with a horse once when a tornado came down. Okay, that wasn't fun. Let's just say I barely made it out alive when that happened. But there is an intrinsic risk. So it's the best job in the world, but you have to really love it. And if you do, you're going to put in the time and the effort to become the best that you're going to be and be professional. I'm also going to add a little side note here that everyone mentions how professional like my business is, because I actually do have a scheduling software and I send appointment notifications and reminders and things like that. So it doesn't take a lot. Just do better than like Joe Schmo down the end of the block, who is like, oh yeah, I did a 1-week massage course. Okay. So that being said, thanks for tuning in and listening to me rant about this topic for a hot minute. Hopefully it was nice and short for you. I am going to be trying to do this about once a month. Again, sharing stories, having a particular topic. If you have questions, send them my way. Listen to the podcast. Make sure to follow us on our Facebook Clubhouse. It's free. That's the Adulting with Horses Clubhouse, I should say. And follow me from my business on social media at Animal Bodywork NJ on both Instagram and Facebook. If you leave comments there, like our DMs, then I'll be able to see kind of what topics you want to talk about, and I can address those in a full episode. So thanks for joining me. I really appreciate it. It's a little different for me talking to myself here. Like, I feel like I'm talking into the void. Natalie is a lot more fun to talk to. So if you don't listen to Adulting with Horses, we're a lot more fun over there. All right. Thanks for joining. Thank you for being a little weird with us, horse girls. If you like what you hear, make sure to subscribe to the podcast on your player of choice. Follow us on Instagram at Adulting with Horses Podcast, or even better, join our Adulting with Horses Clubhouse on Facebook, where you can become part of the show. Also, it's a great place to meet other horse crazy women. Thanks, and see you next time.